Good morning, friends. I've got a few friends. This is a very international church, like a Pentecostal church of the day of the Pentecost, if I make myself clear a little bit more. So many languages and nations in this place today, isn't it? Portuguese, Swedish, our friends from Hong Kong, Africa speak Swahili, maybe Shona, so many languages, Irish. So many languages in this place today. And we are so grateful to the Lord for making us understand each other. Bring our different cultures to this place and try to understand, because we belong to the kingdom of God. Together. Friends, do you remember when I stood here last time? Do you? Candidate Sunday last year. Remember that? Remember how long it lasted? Oh, that's why we're here today. Because those who are not here, they remembered. And they stayed away. I'll try to be brief today. As we're talking about Pentecost, obviously, it draws our attention to Acts and that movement that happened there. So Corin read the first passage was Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. I wonder if you have your Bible with you so we could maybe explore a little bit some of those verses. So the first passage was the report of the ascension, the promise of the power. And I could here use the Greek word, but I'm not going to. I'm going to avoid using the Greek word because I do not speak Greek. I speak Portuguese. And therefore, I could use a Portuguese word, but it would be useless in this context. So the first one is about Jesus promising the power. And the second one we read just not long ago is the releasing of that power. So if you open in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, I love this passage for many, many, many reasons. But one of them, have you noticed that every time the Gospels are mentioning some of the events when Jesus participated, and it was around food, wasn't it? He sat with the disciples, he ate together, and they had conversations. So Jesus remains faithful to his tradition. And here we read in verse 4, one occasion while he was eating with them. This is beautiful. It may be, what's that all about? Nothing special about that, but it is beautiful when we come together. I see some pictures sometime from this place with beautiful food, and I'm so jealous. I see it on Facebook, and I say, I wish I was there with my community, enjoying the food, good food, but also enjoying the fellowship, the conversation, the laughter, the coming together. Because that's what the church was all about, the coming together. So I do enjoy seeing those pictures. Please, next time invite me, tell me when, and I'll be here. Because I see so much food and so much excitement. And I want to have some of that as well. So I am a jealous person. I want a piece of it. So Jesus came together and sat and ate. And once he was eating, he had this conversation with the disciples, because that's when you feel more relaxed. Now, that was church at its best. By late 200s AD, that's when churches became like this. It wasn't like this. You facing somebody talking. It was everyone talking about have you heard about what the Christian community are doing? Have you heard how they're helping people? Do you know that so-and-so needs help? Yes, we're going to help the person. It's just this explosion of this movement, talking about Jesus and helping the communities where they've been placed. Love that. That's my type of church, to be honest. And then we move forward. And as Jesus is talking to the disciples, he tells that the Holy Spirit will come. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, yeah, they had no idea what Jesus was talking about. They knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They heard Jesus talk. They saw Jesus doing a lot of miracles and all that. So they knew about Jesus. But who is this Holy Spirit? That's something new. And they had to rely on, we have to trust Jesus here. He's going to send whatever. The Holy Spirit. What is that? So I can imagine, if I was in that place, if Jesus tells me something that's really alien to me, how would I process that? I say, is Jesus being serious here? Or is it time to raise my hand and say, Lord, what are you talking about? But they were more concerned with verse 6. They were more concerned with, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Remember before? They thought Jesus was coming and defeat the Roman Empire, and then he would bring independence to Israel finally, as he was promised in the Old Testament. So is it now, finally, that this is going to happen? Now, Jesus told them clearly, quite early stage, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said. So, when you look in that context to the passage when Jesus answers, it is not for you to know the times or dates. It was more, friends, do not be concerned about those things. Do not be concerned about those things. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. Do not be concerned about when the kingdom is coming, but be more concerned about who will be in the kingdom. Who will be in the kingdom? Not when the kingdom is coming. Now, this passage in the context was just during the, just about the ascension to take place. And obviously, We don't really celebrate Ascension as much in the UK, in most parts of Europe, to be honest. In the same way as, for instance, in Scandinavia. In Sweden, it's a public holiday. It's a bank holiday, the Ascension Day, where it's celebrated as the Ascension Day, when Jesus ascended. But fortunately, with Thy Kingdom Come movement, that has been picking up a bit more movement, hasn't it? And I'm sure you've been praying for your five a day. I'm not talking about veggies and fruit, obviously. I'm talking about praying for the five people that God has placed in your heart. So he's picking up movement because it starts with the Ascension Day. So it marks that important event in the Christian calendar. We do not celebrate it as much, but it still marks a very important event for us. So Jesus tells the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. So, as you know, the most important, or the key verse in Acts, the whole book of Acts, is 1:8. That's the key verse. Within the key verse of Acts, we have a key word. What would that be? The key word is witness. You will receive power from the Holy Spirit to be my witness. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you look in your Bible, Acts, Luke is really clever. the way he then structured the whole book of Acts. He couldn't predict how the events would take place. They took place as the Holy Spirit wanted them to take place. But if you look at it, you see that from Acts chapter 1 to chapter 6, you have the witnesses taking place in Jerusalem, as predicted. From Acts 6 to 9, the movement is spreading to Samaria and Judea. As Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria and Judea. And then from 9 to 28, is spread all over the known world. Isn't that interesting? It's just me who finds it interesting. Maybe just me. Is it just me? I think it's really fascinating. I am fascinated by these things because Luke had no idea. He couldn't predict how the Holy Spirit would operate. But he recorded it in such a way that really confirmed what Jesus had said it would happen. And this is just point number one of the six. It'll be a long day. You wish you had brought lunch today so we could celebrate around the table. And I would continue then there so we would have a shorter here. But no. Now, friends, I just want us to, again, bring us back to the to and remind us about the power of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said it would happen, it happened. We can trust, we can believe him. And then he says, if we receive that power, that is when the disciples waited to be the power, to receive that power. And in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. So we're now moving to the second passage. I struggle to understand this power. I don't know about you. We talk about power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot forget that we are a holiness movement. Friends, we are the holiness movement who preaches salvation. But we are a holiness movement. Do you remember, some of you probably do, when we had holiness meetings? Can I share here a secret? I mean, it's good for the soul, isn't it, they say? Confessing. I thought they were the most boring meetings ever. I don't know, but it was always those very long, almost morbid songs, never ending, very slow. And I feel like we had to be really long-faced. You couldn't smile, you couldn't laugh. It was very strange. And as a young man, not religious at all, not going to church, starting to attend the Salvation Army, my first meeting was a holiness meeting of all meetings. I felt, I came home exhausted. See, this is strange. And then obviously in the afternoon we had salvation meeting. Joyful tambourines and clapping and dancing. And I said, what is this? So why can't the first meeting be the same as the second meeting? Why can't we have joy in the first meeting? So somehow we lost a bit the sense of preaching holiness, but remain faithful in the joy of the Lord and not having to say, this is holiness, put that holiness face. And now you have a salvation, put your salvation face. And that's how I felt as a young man growing up in the Salvation Army. And so I could see that holiness teaching kind of moved away, pushed away. And we need to bring back more holiness teaching into our daily readings. If you buy books, Christian books, why not buy one about the Holy Spirit and holiness and live holiness? Why not invest in that? Now, we need to move on. So we need to move on to the second part, as I said, about the power being released. And I said about not being so sure about what we mean about this power. Now, as we accept Jesus Christ as our saviors, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. You know that, right? Nothing new here. Do you know how much that is in terms of power? Let me read. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. If you open your Bible in Numbers, I used to say that the problem with the church, it spends too much time in numbers and not enough in acts, if you get my drift. Now, because it's always measuring numbers and not measuring the activity of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you open your Bible in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, you find here a very interesting passage. I'll read it for you. So this is about Moses coming to the Lord because people are complaining. People always complain. There's nothing new there. But the Israelites were complaining. They were fed up of eating manna, and they wanted some meat. Oh, we'll be so lovely with meat. And so Moses goes and talks to the Lord about it. Moses is tired. He's fed up because he has to lead these people, and they are just a burden. So as he comes to the Lord says to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. Now listen to the second part. I will come down, says the Lord, and speak with you there. And I will take, it's fascinating this, I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is in you and put it on them. Have you ever noticed this passage? You never noticed this passage? The Lord is saying to Moses, I'll take a portion, a little bit, of the Spirit that resides in you. I will give it to 70 different people for them to serve. So you have no idea how much power we're talking about that resides within us. I find it fascinating. 70 people received the power of the Spirit that was in Moses. Enough for Moses to carry on and to be shared. Can you comprehend the power we're talking about? And I would like to draw your attention to another verse in Numbers. It's the same chapter, chapter 11, verse 29. And this is people complaining that somebody, because you were 70 people, got this power. But when God did do what he said he would do, some people outside the group also were blessed and started to prophesy. And they came to Moses, somebody came to Moses and said, you can't have that. You can't have that happening. They cannot be prophesying like that. And Moses said, are you jealous? Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. The prophecy was fulfilled in Acts 1:8. Or the 2, Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came. And all of God's people were filled. Now, I have a video I would like you to watch in the moment. It's very difficult to have illustrations to illustrate the divine with something earthly. It's very difficult because you can never match the dimensions. But I would like you to pay attention to this short video. I think it's called The Bear. Anyone love bears? Little bears? Lovely bears. It's called The Bear, and it was released, I think, in the 80s. So it's a very old movie. If you got your popcorn, this is the time. Get your popcorn out. You have to eat them quick because only a few minutes long. But I would like you to pay attention in the sense of sometimes we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. What can the power of the Holy Spirit do for me? It's not the way you should ask the question. What can I do? But we'll see in this video kind of an idea, an image of what could happen. Sometimes we are afraid. The enemy is attacking us. The devil is real and he attacks us. The devil is the enemy of our soul. He wants to separate us from God. What do we do Well, we say we've got the power of the Holy Spirit. How does that work? Let's see if this video can help us understand a little bit better. Well, that gives us an idea, doesn't it? Mother bear died, so that was father bear. So the enemy, the devil, is not afraid of us. He's afraid of who is within us. It's that kind of power that resides within us, that helps us face the challenges and the difficulties, because we're not doing it on our own. On our own, is like that little bear, hopeless. Hopeless. When I say it's difficult to illustrate, it's because we don't have the Holy Spirit behind us. He's real within us to help us on our daily lives. And it's so difficult when we don't understand the power that resides within us through the Holy Spirit. Friends, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us, in you. The same power that took power from Moses and distributed towards 70 other people that prophesied resides within you. The same power that made people that were really afraid of speak up, be bold and courageous and speaking up in the name of Jesus. The same power that made people help people move forward in terms of the mission of the church. Yeah, I was going to say the Salvation Army, and that too. It was the Holy Spirit. And today, I would like us to recapture that sense of, I need you, Holy Spirit. I need to access to that power. I don't need a new Pentecost, because that was the one that happened then. What I need is a new experience of the Pentecost. But that's what we need. And I'd love to see our Salvation Army in the West Midlands, and I would even say the whole territory, you know, expressing that, being filled with the Holy Spirit and living that life. Because the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witness. The Holy Spirit gives us power to transform us, give us power against the enemy, as we just seen. He guides us. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of the sin. If there is sin in the camp, He will not bless us. He convinces us that there is something, convicts us that there is something wrong, something that's not pleasing to God. And that needs to be eradicated. So how can I access to the power of the Holy Spirit? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your first port of entry. To say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me on the cross, for my sins. I need you. Please come into my heart as Lord and Savior. Take complete control of my life and help me live the rest of my life for you in the power of your Holy Spirit. When we give our lives to Jesus, we open the door for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And then the Spirit is there. So you don't need it more. It's there. We just need to release it and say, Holy Spirit, you have the full control of my life. And that is the problem, because we don't want to release control. We, all of us, are control freaks. We are. At one level or the other, we want to have control of our lives. And giving it to the Holy Spirit is very risky, because He might ask us to do things we're not prepared to do. He might tell us to go somewhere we don't want to go. He might tell us to give away something we treasure. We find it very precious. So giving our control is the biggest problem. But it's when we release that power, that control, and say, Holy Spirit, may your will be done in my life. I'm available to you, whatever. It could be that the Holy Spirit calls you into full-time ministry as an officer of the Salvation Army and then sends you anywhere, in the country or outside. It could be that the Lord is telling you that He wants to raise someone to take leadership roles in the church. And you say, nah, my life is a bit complicated. I've got a lot to do. No, I don't want to do that. We pull control back. Accessing the power of the Holy Spirit is by allowing Him to guide and control our lives. And how do I reflect that? The external evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit, what we will be producing and be seen by others, is the love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are we exhibiting this, the fruit of the Spirit, in our lives? I'll conclude with a short illustration of this young boy who was playing out in the back garden, and he was playing with his cars. He was kind of creating some little roads for the cars, and then suddenly there was a big rock in the middle, and he was trying to remove the rock, and he tried, he digged a little bit and he moved it, but he wouldn't budge. So you know, young children, they start getting frustrated and getting annoyed and kicking it, and it doesn't move, and then he starts crying. And his father was watching from afar. He could see the frustration. So he came close and said, what seems to be the problem? He said, well, I've been trying to remove this rock all the time and it's not budging. I've done everything. He said, have you done everything you could? And he said, I've done everything I could. And he said, no, you haven't, because you have not asked my help. You have not asked for my help. So both of them bent down and removed the rock very easily. Friends, we are trying to live the life on our own strength, trying to remove those massive rocks from our way, our own way, and say the Father is there to help. But we're so stubborn. Just allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. We're going to spend some time just reflecting, ask the songsters to sing the song that the band played earlier. The band just played it, so we already had time to reflect on the words, beautiful words, his provision at the moment of my weakness, when my needs for power is plain and my own strength is exhausted once again. It's like, how do I remove the rocks in my life? Then my Lord has made provision for the day of my despair, and his precious Holy Spirit, he is my prayer. So as we listen to the songsters, friends, let's just reflect. What is the Lord telling me today through his word? What is the Lord telling me particularly, personally? And listen to the words, and then we'll conclude together.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful song. It does really help us reflect. The Holy Spirit.